All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire basketball podcast. We're back. It took a day to kind of figure out what's going on here. Eli Bedker joining myself, Jeremy Moss. You doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Nevada fans? Ooh, sorry.
Yeah, we'll see. Another crazy week in the Mountain West. We're back down to 10 head coaches after UNLV's filled. And then the other Nevada school, the Wolfpack, now are looking for a new head coach.
So, yeah, this we had our show last week, and we were talking about, oh, let's see, you go in Arkansas, serious candidate. He's in Arkansas. He's not in Arkansas. He happened to geotag his one-sheet tweet to show he's in town still.
Mm-hmm.
And it became official. And I kind of mentioned it, not to say you called it, but Final Four weekend, all the coaches are in Minneapolis, essentially. And I don't know if most of them was out there, because when you saw the tweets or videos, Arkansas AD was in Reno to pick him up on the plane. I tweeted one of the videos on the article I wrote about him leaving. So I don't know if he's at Minneapolis and back quickly or whatever, but he's gone. Arkansas has a new head coach, and Musselman is on his way out after four really, really good years in Nevada basketball. So congrats.
Yeah, it's it was a weird deal because, well, first off, I don't think many thought when the regular season ended that, or just when the season ended, that Musselman was going to be eyeing the Arkansas job. It was more like UCLA or some of the other SEC jobs that would open up.
LSU, and then, maybe.
Yeah, LSU, if it would have, with Will Wade. But then Arkansas made this big push, and we heard all those rumors on April 1st that Musselman was going to, like, be a pretty serious candidate for the Arkansas vacancy, and I wasn't sure exactly how much stock to put into that, but I did talk to a lot of people that said that it was pretty legit. And then it seemed to kind of fade a little bit, and then Arkansas was speaking to other guys, like Greg Marshall was involved to some extent. I heard Richard Pitino's name come up, like a lot of other guys that were mentioned. And then, was it Sunday morning, you wake up and you see Eric Musselman's going to be introduced as the new Arkansas head coach. So I don't really know what Arkansas's direction with this whole thing was. I think with Chris Beard, the Texas Tech head coach, continuing to advance that tournament.
No, stop. He was not going to Arkansas. No, anybody saying that?
I didn't
come
think
on.
So. But they were definitely going to try to get him.
I
don't think you could even possibly get him, but I mean, look what UCLA has done this offseason. Like, a lot of these programs have no idea where they actually stand in the great realm of things. And I think almost all of these programs think they can get a better head coach than they actually can.
Because Arkansas, as I mentioned, they're basically UNLV with a little bit more success in a better conference and can pay more money. But historically wise, they're pretty comparable for what they've won 20-plus years ago in the 90s, and now they the same. But I saw the Chris Beard thing. I'm like, really? Texas Tech's going to pay more money. They're in the Big 12. It's not like, who was it, Brad Stevens with Butler. He could have gotten any job. He went to the NBA. And so unless you're getting a team that's not even Gonzaga, but you know what I mean? Say Nevada went to the Final Four. Yeah, that's a big pick. Or some other school that's not typically a huge power or in a huge conference. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Just schools in that round. I'm trying to think of random schools. George Mason years ago, stuff like that, where they make the Final Four. Not supposed to. Or Shaka Smart having multiple tourney runs with VCU. They made a Final
Loyola.
Four, right? Yeah, Loyola, yeah. Didn't Shaka make a Final Four with VCU?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Starting for the opening weekend all the way.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. And it took him a while to go there. And so if you're doing that, but Texas – I get it. Texas Tech is not an amazing basketball school. But if people realize, it's been well above average for a very long time. It's not like it's been what – I don't know, a Baylor or some schools in the Big 12, Texas A&M, who hasn't really been good ever. Texas Tech has typically been like a top three or four going back to the Southwest Conference and winning those league titles. So it's not like a no-name school. It's just in the middle of nowhere, and they happen to be just okay, and they just broke through this year. So
yeah.
It's not like he's coming from Iowa State or something, you know what I mean, where they're just about, you know what I mean. So, but the him going to Arkansas, there's always going to be interest. But Texas Tech could match anything Arkansas has.
Yeah, so. I wasn't really sold on Beard going to Arkansas at the end of the day because, if you can – what, 4 years ago he wasn't even coaching D1 basketball, and the progression that he's had within just Texas Tech itself, now mm-hmm. getting them to the national title game last year, the Elite Eight, I didn't really think that there was much of a chance that he would even consider going to Arkansas. But, again, these programs like to push for coaches that might be a bit out of their out of the realm of what they can do. But for Arkansas to end up with a head coach like Eric Musselman and what the SEC has done, this offseason as a whole to bring in all these fantastic head coaches. It's going to be a really stacked and competitive conference moving forward.
One thing I saw you tweet about and mentioned, we mentioned UCLA being a weird job. Rick Barnes might be heading to UCLA.
Yeah, that was something that I brought up last night, which I thought was kind of an interesting deal because I thought Musselman could have been capable of picking up a job that at least had more prominence than Arkansas. Not to say that that isn't a great job and a good pickup for him, but... Well,
recent success-wise.
Yes, of course. And with Rick Barnes now being rumored to be a very serious candidate at UCLA, you have to wonder, at least for now, whether Musselman would have liked to have waited to see what would unfold there. And if, I mean, Musselman, I think if Tennessee were to open up, I think Musselman would definitely be one of the strong contenders to get that job. And Tennessee, it has just is a better overall job than what Arkansas is. So it's kind of an interesting deal.
Yeah, especially the past couple of years. They were ranked number one for a couple weeks this year.
Yep.
I know Arkansas has a national title, but Tennessee has been up there. SEC is kind of weird in basketball. Who do you think is the number two team typically in SEC? Is it Tennessee after Kentucky?
I would say Florida, maybe. Yeah, Florida's got a good program usually. Yeah.
So it's like it's up there, and while Kentucky wins all the time, they can lose regular season. They didn't win the regular season title this year. Wasn't that technically LSU?
Mm-hmm. It was.
And so it's like, well, Kentucky's out there with Calipari, but Tennessee, like, they're consistent NCAA tournament teams, regional semifinals a couple times, regional final in the past decade. So it's slightly better right now, especially winning 31 games the past year. But Musselman goes to Nevada, or leaves Nevada for Arkansas. Let me ask you this. Let's have some fun with this. If Rick Barnes leaves, would Tennessee give a call to Arkansas and say, hey, Mus, want to move over a time zone or something?
That came to mind. I wouldn't be shocked.
Chris Beard, UNLV, come on, stuff happens.
It happens. It does happen. And especially some of these coaches at the mid-major ranks that signed these extensions this offseason, and then they were offered by power conference programs and bounce. Like, that happened to Nate Oates at Buffalo, and he's now headed,
Alabama.
Alabama, yeah, that's right. So it's not really a done deal until it really is. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But if I'm Tennessee and that job opens up with Musselman, because he definitely has had some indecision about this, it's worth at least giving him a call and seeing what's going on there.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. Just let me bring it up because, honestly, contracts are worthless. There's always a buyout you can get out of it, unless, I guess, you're Jimmy Dixon, UCLA's too cheap to pay it.
Right, yeah.
It's like, well, good on them. TCU put in something that's like $8 million, it's still... You still could pay that in a heartbeat if they really want to. But I think Rick Barnes is a better choice if they get him instead of Jamie Dixon. But that's just me. So after Nevada, here's what we got. So he left yesterday, Sunday. We're doing this Monday, April 8th, 9th, whatever, week of the Final Four night. Hey, maybe we'll get a quick prediction later for that game because that'll be a slog fest of who gets to 100 total points. Oh, man.
Yeah.
But for Nevada, so Musselman leaves. It's not overly shocking leaves. Maybe the destination, because I figured you probably as well. He's only been east to LSU, Baton Rouge, that's it. He's been there for 1 year at LSU, right? And then Arizona State, been NBA West Coast, obviously Nevada, doing a couple of things here and there, NBA-wise. But it's a new place for him to go. They offer him the money. Let's start there, because not UNLV, apologies profusely about that. He's making about a million a year. He's getting now $2.5 million per year. So two point five of his contract. That's a pretty big deal to leave, right? Money talks. $2.5 million.
Yeah. Do you know the cost of living difference between Reno and Fayetteville?
I wonder if it's a bit less. I'll look at that if you want to continue discussing.
It's probably
some
pretty
stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty comparable.
I'd say it's pretty close. We'll look that up as we're going along here. But he leaves for that amount of money, which, can you blame him? Because also it's a better job than Cal last year, right? That he basically pulled his name out of. To interview, so
I got the number here. $60,000 in Reno would decrease to about $40,900 in Fayetteville.
So is that a bet? Okay, I'm trying to figure out, is that worse, more expensive than? Yeah, $60K. So basically, $60K gets you $40K from Reno to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's more expensive there. Okay, that's a big jump.
But he does get a price increase for sure.
Obviously, yeah, price increase. So yeah, it's like it's unless you get the same amount of money, that's an issue. It's like some people, hey, if you go to New York City, if you go to California, you got the all extra taxes or city tax, county tax, each way your money. I'm like, well, you're making $2 million a year, you're okay. Yeah, not
so crying. It says Fayetteville is 31.8% cheaper than Reno.
Oh, cheaper? I thought you said more expensive. Oh, no, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
It's confusing.
I always look at it because if you make 40K in Arkansas, it equals 60K.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So yeah. 60K, okay, yeah. So it's, okay, there you go. Good for you. That's what I figured. I'm like, wait, because Reno.
So that's a really good jump, actually.
Yeah, I'm moving to Fayetteville pretty soon. I can get some good deals there.
Yeah.
But so he gets some money. And do you think, like, we don't really know why he left. The press conference is later today. And if you're Nevada Sportsnet, sorry, your Twitter is being manhandled today. But what do you think is key? I got my key reasons you probably left. He loses all five starters, which is a big deal. And when you play seven guys, maybe seven and a half, it's kind of hard to. There's talent there, obviously. Transfers who are eligible, players on the team. We know there's talent there. Like Jordan Brown hardly played, and he is a five-star McDonald's All-American, highly recruited good player. So I think he could have left for, okay, all these guys are gone. This is probably my best team ever. And yes, they only lost four times in the regular season. They still couldn't crack very high. They got only a five seed, probably because he lost late. And then there's money and less pressure to Arkansas. Even though when Arkansas wants to get back to what they were Nolan Richardson back in the late 90s, or mid-90s, I should say, you can win 20 games and be fine. You just got to make the NCAA tournament, which if you're in a power conference, you can do okay, stumble 10 times and not be on your way on the outside, assuming your schedule is reasonably. Basically, as long as you have a schedule to, what, 250, better, or PenCom non-conference, you're good to go because your regular, your actual conference season will get you probably top 50 schedule and balance out. So I think those are three main reasons he would have decided to leave.
Yeah, I that's fair. And I know losing the pieces this year is pretty significant with losing Martin Twins, Caroline Thurman, all those guys. That's a lot to lose in one offseason, but I still thought the ceiling was pretty high for this team this following year. I know a lot of people thought that they would probably take a step back, but I thought Nevada could probably contend for the Mountain West title again. So it's not, like you said, it's not unexpected. We've kind of figured that he was really gaining some traction with some of these power conference schools, and we thought that this year might be the jump. We thought the last 2 years actually could be a jump as well. But I guess he found something in Arkansas that he finds desirable, and it was the right time for him to go. Because you do have to think, though, even though I was pretty high on this team heading into 19-20, if they did sputter, maybe not get to the NCAA tournament, if they kind of fell apart and had a lackluster year, then Musselman's stock goes way down. And then you have to wonder how much of Nevada's success, you know, comes down to him. And it's like, that's not something that I would propose, but it's probably in the back of some people's minds. And so it was the right time for him to jump. And that kind of goes back to the column that I wrote. Either you have to determine right now whether you're going to be a legacy coach like a Mark Few or a Greg Marshall, or if you're going to choose that the time is now to move the jump. And that's what he decided to do.
I would say, because a Mark Few thing is a little different. Not different, but
it is. Well, it is different. It's a different situation.
Well, I mean, longer term success. And like, he had opportunities years ago and wanted to stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like, it wasn't like he sustained success. They pay him well enough. So here's what I'm thinking, like, for him. Like, I would have felt, I probably could, well, I'm trying to gather my thoughts coherently here. Had he made a Final Four this year, I'm betting he would stay. He realized, holy crap, I lose four games, get a five seed, lose two down the stretch, and I mean, get a lower seed than he thought. Not a five seed, sorry. Seven seed? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, heck, I only lose four games, regular season or whatever. Yeah, I get a seven seed. I was ranked top 10 most of the year. I can't get it done here because I have to either schedule extremely hard or go be perfect. And that's, it's hard to go perfect every year when you're, you know what I mean? That there's a lot, that's the pressure aspect going back to that where, hey, you have to be, like, had they gone, let's just say, for example, with their schedule, I know they tried with Arizona State, Utah, USC. They played Grand Canyon. Who else they play?
South Dakota State was on there, too.
Yeah, and they're a tournament team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so they played some decent teams. But what is he going to do to get, like, a high seed? Because Mark Gonzaga could schedule those games. Nevada couldn't get those games in yet. So what do you got to do if they gone 30-2 this year? Or would they have been still a 3 seed? 4 seed?
Yeah, I mean, probably around there.
And so there's that, which is an issue, a tough issue. But what I'm getting at, like, I think had they made a deep run and see, okay, we can do this here, I'd say he would have been more likely to stay because Nevada probably could have paid him $1.5 million, I'm assuming. The donors paid $350,000 of this prior contract to get him to $1 million. And so they could have upped the pay that way. They got more money from attorney credits by going that far for the university. And he's like, okay, I can win. But then again, if he was all five starters, I think that's more of the issue with his limited playing time of players. Losing all those players is more of an issue. But I think had they made a – like losing first round, crap. I had a great year, but last year proved I can coach, stuff like that. And we knew he could coach, but that's, you know, I'm getting at. Losing the talent and not going far – next year, this is probably, seriously, his best time to go anywhere, because next year, the team still probably be, assuming transfers and all that stuff going on right now because players may leave because he's gone, let's just say they get third in the Mountain West. Like, well, he's not going to get as good a job as Arkansas if he finishes third and goes to NIT. This is the time to go if he's going to go. Outside of, like I said, him going to Elite Eight, Final Four, then Nevada can pay him just enough to keep him in town and want to stay to build. So...
do you think, because we know that next year's team, and PSIT will probably change between now and then, but do you think with next year's team not being as talented as this past year's, if you were to do something similar, maybe like win 14 or 15 games in conference again and get to the tournament, do you think that would be, like, I don't know how to phrase it exactly, but do you think that would be a more formidable look in the eyes of the other athletic directors, think that, okay, this guy can really, really coach because he took a team with not nearly as much talent and got them to about the same benchmark?
Yeah, coaches-wise, obviously, because if it was like some guy or random person who's, let's just say just like a Nevada basketball fan or new school X fan, it's like, why are we bringing this guy where he lost the first NCAA tournament in this past year? Because people are like the guy, what Wolford does, what guys who make deep runs from these smaller schools get to call up. And so from a coaching, like if you're a hiring guy, yeah, it makes sense. He played seven guys last year, lost all five starters, still had a season that was 20, probably that gets him, what, 23 wins, whatever, somewhere in that range, 24?
Yeah, probably.
That would be a better coaching achievement, I would say, just because of roster turnover and stuff, than keeping your studs for every couple of years, two, 3 years in a row. So... no, for the fan perspective, like, well, who's this guy? He won Mountain West 11 seed, lost the first round by 2 points to somebody, or won one tourney game. It's like, well, who is he?
Yeah, I think from like more of a national perspective, and I know like localizing within the conference, there's a lot of disappointment probably surrounding Nevada and what their season was. But a lot of people, I think, out of market know what this team accomplished last year. They know a lot about the Martin twins and Caroline.
Yeah.
And they know that this team was ranked in the top 10 throughout the season. And so I think when you combine all of that, even though the end of the year was kind of a flameout for the Wolfpack, if you add all of the parts together to what Musselman has done the last 4 years, I think it just completely suits what a power conference program would be looking at in Musselman and his staff. So I think it's a good pickup for them, and it makes a lot of sense for both parties.
No, it certainly does. And like we know the national reach of Musselman, but I'm just going like, what if he, like you're bright, like what if he has just an okay year, like NCAA tournament bid with only 22 wins?
Yeah, of course.
And that's kind of getting at. It's like, I want the big name, I want the guy who's hot, who goes to the, like last year, like the Illinois-Chicago coach, he stayed around, didn't he? He didn't go anywhere. So stuff like that, like that's when typically, it's also weird too, where we know, at least for Nevada's perspective, I don't know what that coach did prior. I think they're usually pretty good. But it's not like a coach where, why are you giving this guy a big-time job where it's just, say, let's just say TJ, who went to UNLV, did a good job. Say he won, went to the Elite Eight this year. And I know they had NCAA tournament success before, but like literally out of the blue success where it's either first, second, or third year, and that final year wins like two or three games. That's a more odd hire than Musselman, who's built up from CBI 4 years. I know TJ, he still went to tournament a couple of times, but you get my point. A new coach takes over for, let's just say coach, I don't remember, do you remember what VCU did the first year when Shaka left? Do you happen to know offhand at all?
I think they still got to the tournament, or at least competed for a tournament bid.
Yeah, something like that. But let's just say like when Bucknell beat Kansas years ago, did that guy get a new job right away to win two games? Those are more odd hires, because some of those hires are off a one-game thing. It's like, okay, they won their league, Patriot League, SWAC, or even look what, I guess a little bit different from Florida Gulf Coast a couple years ago when they made the Sweet 16. But those, and he got a good job with Andy Lloyd, right, USC? Or Andy Fields.
Yeah.
Andy Fields, yeah. Right. And, yeah. But it's like, so this is more of a hire. Okay, he's done it for a couple of years. He's built up. This makes more sense than, oh, we got the Randy Ray at Weber State years ago when they won a tournament game or two, and like, oh, he's going to take over BYU or something. You know what I mean? Something like that.
And those rumors are still there pretty much, yeah.
Stuff like that, and he's been there a while. That Weber State's been pretty good, but that's my point. This is not a hire to go, what are we getting here? They know what they're getting here. So he gets the money. Let me pull up the bonuses here, because I'm going to do an article on this as well, just in case you like to read and not hear me talk about it. Because why not? He's going to get $2.5 million per year at Arkansas. I'm sorry, Nevada fans, we're going over the Arkansas portion of this, so you could maybe fast forward 60 seconds here if you want. It's a five-year deal, typical, $12.5 million. He will get a $100,000 raise each time his team makes an NCAA tournament, which is fairly standard, I think. Not to exceed $200,000. Okay, this is very interesting here. I like this. So this is Arkansas hedging their bets that he'll be really good and not to pay for it. Did you read this part?
Or like the first Final Four, like the first championship.
It's first. So yeah, Musselman will get $100,000 raise each time his team competes in the NCAA tournament, not to exceed $200,000 over the term. So what they're saying is, if you make it twice, great. If you go 3, 4, and 5, well, you still get that same amount. And so he can only get that bonus twice. Wouldn't it be... Well, it's cost effective. I know why they're doing it, but it's like that is a good amount. Usually, it's not 100K, maybe 20K or 25K. You can also increase his annual compensation. Oh, that's a raise. Okay, that makes sense. That's not a one-time bonus. Okay, that makes a little more sense there. Okay, because if it was a one-time bonus, like come on, pay him each time he makes it. But that's a raise, so that's okay. That's reasonable. And then he'll get an annual compensation 250K for the first week's 16 appearance, 350 per year, first Final Four, 500 per year with his first national title. So those can add up pretty quickly. Is that where that five? That's more than that $5 million that guy mentioned on Twitter. But okay, I thought it was a one-time bonus. That's a raise. So okay, that's still some pretty good incentives. So you can go far. So that could get him to $3 million quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
By the end of it,
there's a lot of incentives on there, so that's good.
Like say he makes a tournament first year, goes to a Sweet 16. He's almost at $3 million right there. So there's that. If he's fired at any point, his contract Arkansas will owe him. Only 70%, not the full 100% that's typically given to people when they're fired no matter what. So that's interesting. If he leaves for another job, it's a trickle down. So it's like, so here's the thing. If Arkansas or Tennessee does come up, this is a hefty buyout. He would owe the school $5 million if he leaves before April
30, 2021. Dang.
So if he were to go, that's I like that. And then it drops quite a bit to, yearly from May to April to $1.5 million, $1 million, then $750, and then Nevada earned $1 million. There you go. Here's Nevada side. Come back, folks. Wolfpack fan, listen up. You get $1 million for breaking the contract. So, random other bonuses, free season tickets, blah blah blah, car allowance, whatever. Okay. Here's the full contract below. I don't need to read that. Cool. Good for him. I would say this. So let's get to the Nevada side. What should they pay for a new coach? Because they get $1 million from Arkansas. They can use as they wish. I do wish, though, really quick, they should get a home and home in this as well. Something should be done as well down the road.
You mean with Arkansas?
Yeah, why not? That happens typically. Okay, maybe not typically. Let me rephrase that. I'm thinking of the Florida Gators when they took Jim McElwain for football. Florida kind of balked at paying the full buyout. So to offset that, they agreed to not a home and home, but play one in Gainesville and then one in Denver where the Broncos play. So there's that. I like that too. Mm-hmm. Like, sure, pay $800,000, but you get a home game with Arkansas. You know what I mean? Something like that. And Arkansas, Colorado State has a home and home with Arkansas in basketball. So come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean that. That's a good way to do it. I think because a lot of these mid-major coaches or mid-major programs are hungry for good power conference teams on their non-conference schedule, so I think that would be a pretty good deal if they could set that up, but I don't know if it will.
Even if it's down the road a couple years, maybe not next year, but maybe do like in, even if he's not there, but 2 years down the road. That's kind of what the Florida-Colorado State thing did. McElwain wasn't even the coach when they played this year, his past year of football, so
yeah,
there's that. But I always like that too. Maybe if you don't want to pay the full buyout, you're balking out, like, hey, UCLA, listen up. Maybe you can learn a few things. So what do you think? Okay, let's go to Nevada. So I've been hogging here. Who would be... Okay, if you go to Chris Murray, it's 25 candidates. Excessive, I would say. I looked at Boston Brackets has 5, and then Reno Gazette has, I think, 8. And so if we're going to kind of make our own list here, which you're working on as well, who are like some of your top guys on the list that they should be looking for?
Yeah, so I have 6 on my list.
Good, that's reasonable.
yeah, you think that's more reasonable. I try to narrow in on the ones that I think could like very much legit be considered here. And so I do have Gus Arginal, who's the current assistant coach with the staff. He is the in-house choice if there is one. I'm pretty confident that he'll be at least in consideration for the head coaching job. He has already, I believe, interviewed with Idaho State. So he's primed to become a head coach, I think, pretty soon. And now with Musselman leaving, I think there's a good chance that he'll be a head coach at least somewhere the following season. So I think he knows a lot of recruits. He's done his time, so I think he's a pretty good candidate. Travis Tuchel from Montana, and his name seems to come up a lot. I believe he just signed an extension with Montana, so that makes things a little bit more hesitant for Nevada to sign him, but he's done a tremendous job there and knows the area pretty well. Russell Turner from UC Irvine, who was rumored to be involved at Cal. I have him on the list as well. He's been with UC Irvine, I believe, since the early 2000s. He's been there a long time.
187 career wins overall. Yeah. 101 wins in Big West play. Average 23 wins in 7 years. So he's a winner.
Yeah, and one tournament game this year is a 13 seed, so his stock's pretty high right now. He knows California and that West Coast area really well. I do have Dave Rice on here too, and you can scoff at it if you want, but I think he's done a good enough job these last few years to be considered a reasonable candidate to get a head coaching job again soon. And I think a lot of people expect that to happen within either this year or next year or whenever the case may be. So it's still a little weird to have Nevada be considering former UNLV guys. I've seen Marvin Menzies' name come up a lot, which I do not get.
No.
So I don't know why his name's come up a lot, not because it's a knock on Menzies, but just Nevada has pretty much manhandled Menzies under Musselman and picking up a fired UNLV head coach I just do not think would sit well with Nevada at all. Then the final two names I have, Joe Pasternak from UC Santa Barbara. His name is also kind of an interesting one that brings an asterisk next to it because his name has been involved in the FBI investigation for when he was on the Arizona staff recruiting Brian Bowen. So that is an interesting deal, but he's done a good job with the Gauchos. And then the final name is David Padgett, who was the interim head coach after Rick Pitino at Louisville. Thought he did a really good job, and he's from Nevada. So that's a name that comes up as well. And so those are my candidate lists for right now.
Good, you kept it slim. I was looking at some list on there. I'm like, really? Steve Alford? No. Really? This guy? No. I mentioned Randy Ray because he saw that. No. Just because, not that he's a bad coach, but he's been at Weber State for 13 years and not going to do much of anything else. Quick question. Rex Walters on staff. Did you see what his official title is? I thought he's associate head coach. He's assistant to the head coach. So
yeah,
he's the Dwight. Yeah, the Dwight Schrute of the Nevada Hoops.
Yes, I saw that too. That was pretty good.
I just double checked. Now, like, wait a minute. So there's a lot of good names on there. A couple things to consider too. I guess a couple names I like. There's what Doug Knuth wants. AD there wants a guy who had head coaching experience, because that's kind of what he's hired before. So that may take away like the Gonzaga assistant people are talking about. Who else is on your assistants? Maybe even assistants on staff that some people are looking into. Who we got here? I'm trying to go through all this huge list here I had earlier. Like people, did you mention Gus Arginal as one of the guys?
Yes.
Okay. Has he been a head coach anywhere besides Division II?
He was at D2 Cal State East Bay for four years.
Okay. And that's nearby. It's San Jose area essentially up there. So recruiting could help out with that. But seriously, Rex Walters, wasn't he at San Francisco the year before, a couple years ago?
Yeah, he has made head coaching stops too. I know he's been a head coach somewhere. I'm pretty sure you're right.
Yeah, they're in San Francisco and FAU.
San Francisco, yeah.
So he could be reasonably, and he's a decent name too. People maybe remember him in NBA career reasonably well. Wasn't he the Phoenix Suns head coach too, I want to say? Or did he play with the Suns?
He played with the Nets, Sixers, and Heat, but he was with FAU in San Francisco as a head coach.
I wonder why I got the Suns mixed. I know that's Dan Marley there, and he's not coming either. So on that list, no, he's not going. I did notice, those are some good names. But what they want to bring in, I do like Mark Pope, but looking at who they have on there, not going to happen. Sorry. But
yeah,
unfortunate news for me. No. I was looking through, I'm like, there's a lot of decent names. I've done more than him. So Maybe he'll just go to BYU and go somewhere else down the road. Or just stay at EVU and win two games next year and go into a bigger job like whatever it opens up next time down the road.
There you go.
Gets fired from FBI. Investigation, yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
But ask them what they want to bring in. For those guys, I like the the guy who I like the most. Do you have a favorite? Let me ask you that before I get into mine. Do you have anybody you would think would be like the first top choice?
Well, within Reno, Nevada area, it's no surprise that I think Gus would be the pick. Mm-hmm. And I've spoken to some other people, and they think that to prevent having to blow up the whole program and all the forward momentum that's happened under Musselman these past 4 years, I think Gus is your pick because he can still keep things intact in terms of recruiting and what the program represents. So I think he needs to be at least one of the top two, top three choices. And I know in-house isn't always flashy and it doesn't always pan out, but I think Gus has done some great things the last few years and it would be a really good choice. And I do like David Padgett quite a bit too. I think that what he did the year after Pitino was fired from Louisville, I thought was pretty impressive. And that was a really good coaching job on his part. He's from the Nevada area and he would be well received. So I think those two are pretty good. And then if you can make a move towards DeCure or Turner, like those are proven mid-major West Coast guys. So there are some quality candidates in here. I'm curious to see where Nevada goes and which candidates emerge. If it's anyone besides like those four guys that I mentioned, I'd be pretty surprised and I'd probably a little hesitant unless some name comes out of nowhere that is impressive. I'm not quite sure if that's going to happen.
Rick Pitino!
Oh, God. We can dream, huh? Or it's like Thad Bonner or something crazy name like that.
Oh, yeah, Thad Bonner.
But who do you like then?
It depends too. Like the in-house makes sense because it's a they've been bringing in so many transfers. Some are going to be eligible, so the guys who are going to be eligible next year aren't going to go again because that's like a waste of like 3 years of their basketball career. So those guys are very likely staying. So I do think in-house could be the best move because of that. But plus, like, I hate to say the players are kind of stuck there. The guys who transferred last year are now eligible. Maybe they get a waiver, so I'm going kind of deep to thinking about this. But if you want to keep those guys happy, and other players, even like Jordan Brown or other guys who are going to see playing time, there's a chance they could go more likely for bringing an outside coach in a hire from within who they already know. So that probably makes the most sense. From a guy not on staff, I like Russell Turner the most because, yes, I mentioned before, he had that one random NCAA tournament victory. Yeah, but look what he's done at UC Irvine for the past decade almost.
Mm-hmm.
He's been to the NIT a couple times, CIT, so he's going to postseason play. Not a big deal, but must with that in one first year, CBI. He's winning conference titles, finishing the top of the conference. He's won four titles and finished second in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Cal and Stanford wanted him. I think he's probably my top choice overall for an outside, not hiring from within.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great candidate, and that's why his name has come up with some of these power conference jobs. Like, I mean, Cal couldn't get him. Mm-hmm. Stanford also made a look at him, so... it'll be interesting, but I think he'll probably be in the running.
Dark horse hire? I like Tim Miles to come back to Mountain West.
I don't know if I like that
one,
honestly.
No, why not?
I don't know. I like Tim Miles, but I just – that feels kind of like the wrong move, in my opinion. Nevada.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think you need to get one of these coaches that is – it's going to sound like a slight to Miles, but like having forward momentum and is working towards building something, you know, because I feel like Miles has pretty much peaked getting the Nebraska job and he's probably going to be at the mid-major level for quite some time unless he goes into like broadcasting or something. So it's tough. I don't think that he would do a bad job at Nevada because I do believe he's a good coach, but I think the way that the program has progressed the last 4 years, it's as healthy as it's ever been. I don't know if grabbing a fired power conference coach is the way to go, but it does make a lot of sense why he would be rumored to go there.
He would be a good coach, but I get your point. Why do you want a coach who's just fired?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, so I'm betting Miles, he's not going to coach this year or be an assistant. He'll be head coach sooner than later, but you know, that does make a lot of sense. Like, you want the momentum going forward where, yeah, yep. Good job, we got a coach who was fired.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't really rub people the right way.
No, even though I think like I said, it could make sense. So what will Nevada pay? They paid what is it? I mentioned this earlier. $350,000 from the athletic department. Or no, excuse me, $650,000. Got it backwards. $350,000 coming from donors, and Musk was making just over $1 million. They get the $1 million buyout from Arkansas. I'm wondering, and they offered Musselman super, not offered, but it was only getting $400,000 a year when he started.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the salary window is pretty wide open, wouldn't you think?
I would think so. It also, I think the main thing, reading some different stuff online, like what the donors are paying, will they be willing to chip in for that same amount? Because that's a pretty big deal. Like, let's just say, for example, they take that $350,000 stays the same. That's good. Say the school will pay probably slightly less because you, so let's say they get the Big West coach or, you know what I mean, some coach that's not in the major school, which you're not going to get anyways. Mm-hmm. They'll pay them more, but they'll get more salary, that coach, but less from Nevada paying overall. So let's just say they offer $750,000. $800,000 overall. So if they get $350,000 from that, that's what, $450,000 or $450,000. That would put them middle of the pack in the conference. I think that's reasonable, right? And then they could take that $1 million and say they only spend $200,000 over the life of the contract, like $50,000 a year or something, to boost the pay. You know what I mean? The pay that school doesn't really.
Yeah,
pay.
That would be a pretty solid number. I would say.
I think that'd be good. I think between $700,000 and $800,000 would be what they should pay overall. Mm-hmm. But also that depends. Like, will the alumni or boosters pay similar amounts?
And that can get you a pretty good coach too, especially in this conference. That's a solid number to have.
Yeah, it does. I'm trying to see. I had the contract stuff recently about here, what the coaches are paying with the TJ post. But also to consider, really quick too, down the road, I don't know if this will be considered in this contract, but me and Matt did a show yesterday about the American new contract for football and basketball. They're getting about $7 million per year per school, which is like a fourfold increase. Mountain West, say they get the same amount, might get them around $6 plus million. That's something to consider as well, if they can roll that in or maybe budget that into back end the contractor incentive wise, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I don't think $700,000 to $800,000 is unrealistic, especially for a program that still has plenty of talent coming back, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's unrealistic. It might be a bit on the high end, but that $1 million does help quite a bit, I would think.
Whatever.
And they can use that for the new head coaching hire. So either way, the program is in such better shape than it was last time they were looking for a head coach, and a lot of that is thanks to Musselman and his staff and what they did. So if they can build off of this, pick up a good head coach, and continue to reach that 20-win benchmark and compete for tournament titles, and I think this program's in really good shape.
Yeah, I think as well. I'm trying to see. Where's that? I can't find. I had a post here. I must have lost it somewhere about this coaching thing. But he should be – new coach should be, what, at worst fourth in the conference for current pay?
Yeah, probably in that like middle high tier, yeah.
And also, what also is not good about this, it takes not takes a minute, but the timing's not great either, because that second recruiting window is coming up right now.
Yeah, that's the thing. They got to move quick.
Because first, you got to keep the guys on staff or on roster. Guys could transfer in, obviously. May possibly, the way the portal's going now, waivers seem more likely than not to happen, which is fine. I don't care about that. That's what you want to do. But keep those guys and get a few others. But, like, do you think next year, like, I know you wrote your ridiculously early piece. Do you kind of stand where they'd finish next year at this moment? Assuming, let's just say the roster stays the same. Do you think they're still finish a top two or three team?
I think it's still very much dependent on the coach, which is kind of the vanilla answer. But if they pick up a good head coach, one of the guys that I named here, or like any of the other strong candidates, I think they're probably still in position to finish in the top four in the Mountain West, because they still have one of the better rosters too.
So, but that's part of it too. Yeah, assuming it, I know the coach, like, oh, depends who the coach is, but also depends who stays. I found the piece right here for the coaching salary. So right now you have Ultenberger 1.1. Dutcher has now moved up to 2 with Musselman gone 800 to 5,000. Medved 700. Leon Rice 675. Craig Smith 650. Paul Weir 625. I think about 600 to 700 is probably where they should be to get a decent coach.
I think they'll probably be in that, yeah, probably 600 to 700 window, I would imagine. But it would be crazy if they ended up with a higher paid coach than Leon Rice. Leon's got to get his money, man.
I know. What's going on there? Who's in charge? Who's his agent? Can I be his agent? Can I go vouch for you?
Yeah. Where's Nick gotta get his money?
Where's Nick Duncan to go throw some middle fingers at the AD athletic department to get some cash?
Exactly. Yeah. I think he deserves more than $650. I think he's done a good job.
Yeah, I think it should be a little bit higher. And then we'll see how it goes. But that makes sense because I don't know if these other guys make, but I'm pretty sure they're not making $700,000. Most of these other guys,
mm-hmm.
particularly on staff guys. So as for when a hire would take place, this is turning slowly into New Mexico territory or UNLV territory a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Where not that they're going to lose a coach that gets hired like Chris Beard and UNLV, but timing is crappy with recruiting period, all the summer stuff coming up pretty soon. They got to make a hire within a week, right?
It's got to move quick. I think if
10 days.
If they're strongly considering Gus to be the guy, they just do it now and keep everything intact. But if they need to look, if they miss a recruiting window to make sure they have the right coach, I don't think that's bad. Like the trade-off for one recruiting date for finding the right head coach for the next X amount of years, I think is a reasonable trade-off. So either pick Gus now or just take your time with the head coaching hire and do a good job with that. Because if they rush and end up with a head coach who does a bad job and you're going back to like what the Trent Johnson days were or something like that, then like you lose all the momentum Musselman and the staff built, and you just can't afford to do that.
Yeah, if you see it right away, if it's sooner, it means in-house, but they got to get coaches to interview however they do it. But we'll know more. Isn't Nevada having a press conference itself with Doug Knuth like today or tomorrow?
I think so.
So that'll give us some more information what they're looking for. We're national – here, I'll give you the press conference now. We want to thank Musselman for his years of service. He helped build the program to national relevance. We want to keep that going. So we want a coach that will keep that vision for Nevada Wolfpack. Battleborn here, hashtag, keep winning. And we just want a coach who knows how to – something lame like that. It's going to be the most generic press conference as they all are because usually they're kind of lame. But he might give an insight. I don't think he'll give any name, but at least what I'm looking for is probably a timeline. And somebody better ask him about pay, about what are they looking to pay a new coach, and get some sort of generic answer where it probably won't be what Musselman is getting, but we'll be competitive in the top tier in the Mountain West because that's where we stand. Again, generic lame answer. But that's probably what's going to happen. So we'll see what's going on. You're going on your trip, so you'll be out of pocket for a while. So you're going to be far away not knowing – well, not knowing, but maybe behind with that time change. But you are in the future, so maybe you'll know some stuff.
Yeah, that's right. I'll be in the future. I'll be 8 hours ahead of all of you guys.
8 hours. So is your flight – I'm not – well, are you blessed with a nonstop flight from where you're going, or do you have to stop like in Chicago or New York something?
It's nonstop because my first stop is in Iceland. And so I'm staying there for a couple of days because they have the layover deal with Alaska. So you kind of have that – can make that layover stop in Iceland. So I'm staying there for a couple of days and checking out Reykjavik. So that'll be fun.
You should go check out where they filmed Aquaman.
Oh, yeah? Where's that at?
I don't know. It's somewhere in Iceland. I just remember that's where they filmed it from, and there's a tourist boom in that town. I don't know if it's in the capital or wherever, but that's not bad. I know a lot of people do that in Europe. They'll go to Trif where they have like a – instead of the typical 30-minute to 2-hour, 4-hour layover, it's like 18 hours or something or –
oh, geez. Yeah.
So, something like that where you can go do something, kind of like what you're doing. So that'll be fun. So
that's better than like 5 hours where you're just kind of stuck at the airport, don't really know what to do. So yeah, it'll be fun to be there for a couple of days.
No, that's good. Get those type of flights. So have fun. And
thank you.
We'll see what's going on. Well, as our basketball season ends, go chill. And wherever you're going over there in Europe, Iceland and everywhere else, go.
Yeah.
Go have some weird food. See if they have ham there for me. Let me know if their ham's any different.
I'll be sure.
Icelandic ham. Let me know. What's that like?
That's right.
Oh, that's a good way to end this. So we'll keep everybody updated what's going on over the next couple weeks. A couple days. And when you're back, maybe we'll get a couple more hoops podcasts in once we know the coach, looking ahead to 2019, 2020. And check us out, MWR.com.